you people. Starship Rokan Show off for another day of broadcast insolence. Coming up on the program, our personal alderman will be here. He's the alderman from the ward here. But we have him on not because we want to talk about things that are happening just in our neighborhood, because, quite honestly, you don't care about that. What you care about is the stupid stuff that the city is doing that's affecting your life, whether you live in the city or the suburbs. And that's what he's here for. And there are some, every once in a while, it's a smart thing. There are some other dumb things that happen, too. I would venture to guess, to say. So he will be joining us to talk about that, including all styrofoam is going to be banned in the city of Chicago.
All styrofoam?
All styrofoam.
It's the war on styrofoam.
It is.
Well, it's not really good for the environment.
And single you.
Sorry, I just had to put it out
have
there.
Have you ever had sautéed styrofoam? It is absolutely delicious. I don't know why people are, I don't know why people just don't. No? All right. Also, single-use plastics. Now, you see, this is, I get it. I know. We've all seen the pictures of the dolphin with the six-pack holder around its beak, right?
Beak?
Yeah, like a bottle of soda in his blowhole. I know. We've all seen that.
There was that horrible video of a turtle getting a straw pulled out of his nose.
Oh, jeez.
Yes.
It was
see,
awful.
That's bad.
I feel guilty now. I have a one-use water bottle right in front of me.
Right.
I am actually sipping from a straw as well.
With a bottle of vitamin water in front of you. How dare you?
Isn't that interesting?
I got to get better at that.
Yeah. I don't think I can get better at it because I like the vitamin water.
Yeah.
Now, what am I supposed to do about that? Now, but the styrofoam. Now, it's not my fault that there's styrofoam. I don't go out and buy styrofoam.
Yeah, you're not choosing. Like, right. Please put food in styrofoam.
Right. Or the fact that there's styrofoam. Like, if I get I have a TV delivered to my house every hour, and so
I was gonna say you need it for when you make those drunken Amazon purchases late at night, and something shows up at your door that's valuable.
It's always
you need to protect it.
Right. It's always covered in styrofoam. What am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to turn myself in immediately when the styrofoam shows up, or pull it out and get mad at the styrofoam, refuse to accept the television? I just don't understand this. So the alderman's going to have to explain. I understand that all these things that we thought were just amazing ideas, when we first saw them or when we were kids or whatever, I get that there's like an island of styrofoam out in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. But how else am I going to protect my stuff? And no matter what you do, because everything, like rubber, yeah. we're gonna have like.
Why can't you just use like the cardboard?
Well, because first of all, think of the trees, Lauren. Why aren't you thinking of the trees?
That's degradable. Styrofoam, not so much.
No, that we found that out the hard way, and it floats, and it stops not floating.
We're probably better without it, to be honest.
See, okay.
But we do need to find a solution before all of our TVs
TV arrives.
Right.
All right. Now I'm going to feel totally like a criminal when I'm unpacking something and there's going to be styrofoam in the box. Or what's worse is those styrofoam peanuts.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I had a conversation with a guy a couple of years ago. It turns out that all of the styrofoam peanut manufacturers are local because it does not pay to ship styrofoam peanuts. Because they're so large in volume, having them, they can't make them in California and have them here, to get them here. And you need so many of them, and there'll be just trucks upon trucks upon trucks upon trucks of just styrofoam peanuts. So you got to make them here. And they're kind of a final mile product, like a bakery product. I mean, who knew?
I did not know that.
But see, now what's that guy going to do? Is he going to get fiberglass peanuts? That won't be so good.
Ooh.
Yeah, when it comes to the straw, I just can't commit to carrying around a metal tube to use as a straw.
Not since 1978 have I done that. It does not seem like the right thing.
What's going to happen to Capri Suns?
I don't know.
Well, the straw is this replacement straw that they've come up with now, this paper thing.
Ugh,
it melts in your mouth.
Yeah. You've got to chug your drink, otherwise it's exactly what you think a paper straw would turn into. It's a paper straw, and it basically disintegrates halfway through your beverage.
Yes. Well, shouldn't there be a way to do something with that paper straw to make it more
durable,
rigorous,
waterproof,
turgid?
Yeah.
Don't you think? I mean, there's got to be a way. Like, there's got to be a plastic or something that you put around it. Oh, wait, no, that's a bad idea.
We'll get our top men on it.
Yeah, thank you. Once we're done with figuring out the styrofoam peanuts. All right. Anyway, that's a long way of telling you that Alderman Riley is going to be here, and we're going to talk about that with him, and that's coming up in just a little bit. And Lourdes Duarte, who's just back from Puerto Rico. She was there during one of the earthquakes.
Oh.
There were two. There were, like, back-to-backs. And she was there. She was getting married in you know, doing a ceremony,
aww,
a marriage ceremony in Puerto Rico. And she has an amazing story to tell. So she's going to join us coming up here in just a moment. And reminding you, we are playing News or Ruse at 5:30 today. You want to come back for that. You want to play it. It's one of the great giveaways we've ever done here. It's a ski weekend to Granite Peak Ski Area, Rib Mountain State Park in the heart of Wisconsin. Up, if you go to the North Woods and you drive right past that thing on 51,
mm-hmm,
and that's all of a sudden there's a mountain.
Yeah, it's really fun, actually.
Yeah, and you're like, hey, wait a second, where did this mountain come from? And Wausau's a great town. And you're going to like this. That's all I'm telling you. But first, let's check in. Lauren Lapka's got the traffic and the weather.
For News at 10, watch WGN, Micah Mater, Joe Donlin, Dan Rohn, and Chicago's most trusted meteorologist, Tom Skilling. For TV News at 10, watch Chicago's very own WGN.
Thank you, Kevin. All right, we're going to check in with our beloved Lourdes Duarte right now. And the issue that I have here is that you put yourself in harm's way. And I just can't get behind that. Ben Bradley, you know, your co-anchor in the 4 o'clock news on WGN TV, if he wants to put himself in harm's way, that's fine with us. We don't have any issue with that. What we have an issue with is if you put yourself in harm's way, especially now you have a young child, you know, baby, you've got responsibilities, and you're in Puerto Rico, right?
Yeah.
This is the story that I've heard, and you were doing like a marriage ceremony there.
Correct.
Is that right? Okay. Yeah. And you have family there?
I lived in Puerto Rico when I was a little kid for 10 years. All my family is back here in the Chicago, Florida area, but I've always wanted to, you know, get married in Puerto Rico. I actually met Matt in Puerto Rico, so it just seemed like the place that was where we had to do it. And we decided a long time ago that would be where our ceremony would be held. And there we were.
Mm-hmm.
Four earthquakes in 2 days. That's how many we felt. And there have been a string of them just in the last, since what, December 28th?
Did one happen during the ceremony?
No.
Because after. I'm just going to tell you something right there. That's bad magic, as we like to say.
I know. You know, we got there Sunday night. We felt the first one Monday morning. And that was, it was, I think, a 5.5. I mean, it was scary, but people went on about their day in San Juan, which is about 70 miles from the epicenter. And then the next day, 4:30 in the morning, that was a big one. That was a 6.5. And you could definitely feel it. I mean, that building was swaying back and forth. You could hear the closet doors rattling. And it felt like it went on for about 45 seconds or so.
Did you get under the door jam or whatever you're supposed to do there?
No, no. We just, because it's like you're waking up from your sleep and you don't know really what to do. So you just kind of hold on and wait for a few seconds until it passes. And sure enough, it does. But that day after that big one, we felt another one a few hours later and then a third a few hours after that.
Wow.
Yeah, it was.
That island, you know, it is so, has been through hell, mm-hmm, right, for the last year and a half, essentially. And the question really is, as you were in San Juan, which obviously is a big city, there's, mm-hmm, there are resources in San Juan, but people talk about other little towns throughout the island and what is happening there. They still have not been able to rebuild from Irma.
Hurricane Maria.
Maria.
Those islands or those towns to the south of San Juan. And again, we're talking about San Juan being 70 miles from the epicenter of those earthquakes. They are struggling. I mean, you see when you land in Puerto Rico in San Juan, you can still to this day, now a couple years later, see those blue tarps on those homes, on the roof of those homes that still have not been repaired or rebuilt. And you even drive through some areas and you can still see some of those buildings demolished and just have never been able to recover. So it's been tough for those guys. And to think that just a few years later, they're now dealing with this, which has just been such an issue for them. And it seems like they continue to happen. They just had one today, by the way. It was a 5.5.
Wow.
Yeah.
So are essential services still working in San Juan, though? I mean, the electric and everything? Because they were having trouble before this.
Yeah, San Juan is in pretty good shape. I mean, when we were there, yes, the traffic lights were out. There were some businesses without power. But they've been really good about getting generators to those businesses so that they can continue running. So restaurants oftentimes will remain open. It's just those smaller businesses that are having to shut down.
And I know there's a local organization, right, that is mm-hmm. raising money for Puerto Rico. Because the Chicago metropolitan area, but the city of Chicago.
Huge Puerto Rican
has
community.
A very large Puerto Rican community. You know, one would assume that people who are coming from the Caribbean wouldn't want to settle in Chicago. I mean, I somehow have to wonder what's going on there. But, you know, that's the majority of Hispanics in Chicago and the Chicago area are of Mexican descent.
Yeah.
But the Puerto Rican population is almost a quarter, right, of the Hispanic population here?
Yeah, when you look at next to New York City, I think we have one of the largest Puerto Rican communities in the country. They've got an organization here called the Puerto Rican Agenda, which I'm sure you've seen a lot of times on the news. Well, mm-hmm. they've been really instrumental in, after Hurricane Irma and Maria, they were really good about generating some funds to go out to Puerto Rico. They're doing the same thing this time. But listen to this. They've only been able to raise $20,000 here locally. They do have some people out on the ground in Puerto Rico, so they've got a group of psychologists and therapists that have traveled out there to help some of those folks deal with this. They were able to put together a food bank just last Sunday where they fed 1,200 people. So they're working on doing some things round the clock.
It's amazing. Your heart just has to go out to all those Americans on the island of Puerto Rico, because mm-hmm. everybody on that island is an American.
Correct.
Unless they came from somewhere else, mm-hmm. right? And that's, and you know, we tend to forget it sometimes mm-hmm. intentionally and forget, you know, that we do have a responsibility. The United States of America has a responsibility there. And it's tough. It's tough logistically because it's an island. And it's an island that's really not. It's not like the Bahamas where you can, you know, boats can go back and forth in a day, mm-hmm. right, from South Florida to the Bahamas. This is, you know, it's a multiple day trek.
Right.
Obviously, that part of the ocean world can be rough at times. And getting the stuff to that island has been just, you know, all the building materials and all the other things that they've mm-hmm. needed, just so hard.
Yeah, it seems like they're getting a little bit more support this time. They just today, the president signed something that would allow Puerto Rico to get a little bit more funding. I think before it had been capped at about $5 million, and then now it seems like it's been extended. So they are starting to get a little bit more help from the states here. So we'll see how that all shakes out. Looking into it now to see how that comes about.
All right, what else you got going on in the news?
Okay, so today we are also covering, obviously, the latest on the impeachment. Those articles of impeachment will be handed down, will be walked over to the Senate this afternoon at 4 o'clock, so we'll carry that live. Also, Lincoln Towing, you've heard they're kind of getting a pass, right?
Oh, you know, it couldn't have happened to a nicer bunch of people. Lincoln Towing, which has been in operation
for 60 years.
Yes.
I didn't realize that until I read it this afternoon. 60 years. Think about that.
There was, I mean, let's face it. There was a folk song written about mm-hmm. them in the 1970s, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's the great, late great Steve Goodman, who really is the father of folk music in Chicago, for sure, mm-hmm. is the sort of folk rock. He is, let's just play a little bit of this for you so you understand. This is a towing company.
Let me hear it.
In Chicago, where I live, there's an outfit that'd tow almost anything off the street. But they deal mostly with automobiles, and we call them the Lincoln Park Pirates. The street lamps are on in Chicago tonight, and lovers are gazing at stars. The stores are all closing, and Daly is dozing, and the fat man's counting the cars. And there's more cars than places to put them, he said, but I got room for them all.
Wait, we gotta wait for the chorus. Hold on. Everybody sing along.
So round them up, boys, because I want some more toys. Hit the lot by the grocery store. To me,
there you go.
Ooh, that's catchy.
Yes. Yep. From Wilmot to Gary, there's nothing so hairy.
That's catchy.
That was written about them because they have a reputation for just going and taking any car off the street, and then all of a sudden you got to go find your car at one of the Lincoln towing lots or the main Lincoln towing lot, and then you got to pay whatever it is, and the guy's sitting there in a broken chair with a Rottweiler, and he's like, "Hey, you owe me the money," and that's it.
Yeah.
So the Illinois Commerce Commission, right, was trying to shut them down?
Yeah, pretty tough on them. Back in September of 2018, they revoked Lincoln Towing's license after, you know, there were a lot of investigations and of some violations, about 800 or so violations of people complaining of this, that they just came, got my car, and I couldn't get it back, and they weren't supposed to tow it away. So now today, the judge in this case has said that the Illinois Commerce Commission violated fundamental fairness and due process. So it has revoked or it has reinstated their license so they can go about the business of towing vehicles. So they kind of, in a way, get a pass from this 2016 investigation.
Are we going to the U.S. Supreme Court on this one? Is notorious RGB going to have to weigh in on the Lincoln Park Pirates?
Who knows what's going to happen next? Who knows? We'll have to watch it. Didn't Ben do a bunch of stories on this?
Oh, yes.
He did a string of stories on
this. See, we don't care. Ben can do dangerous stories. It's fine. We don't want you doing dangerous stories. I know it's sexist and everything, but I'm still doing it anyway. Because, you know, you're a young mom. You got, you know.
That's right. But you know he has three kids, right?
Yeah, whatever. Trust me. The kids, I know the boys. They're like, hey, when's dad? You know, dad, you should really take one of those really dangerous assignments overseas for a long time.
Yeah. I was wondering why our news director kept sending him out.
That's a good reason. There you go. All right, we'll see you on the WGN TV News at 4 o'clock.
Sounds good. We'll talk to you later.
Lourdes Duarte there. Thank you. And let's check in now with the WGN Radio Newsroom in 2 minutes.
He'll spin it ahead for Kubalik. Breaks into the Ottawa zone down the front.
Tonight, after a huge win in Ottawa.
Overtime win for the Hawks.
The Blackhawks spend a second night in Canada as they take on Montreal. Hawks, Habs, the pregame at 6. John and Troy with the puck drop at 6:30.
Upwork has the world's largest network of independent professionals. Let me just close this real quick. So if you need a back-end developer, a UI designer, or a project manager for 6 days or 6 months, Upwork is how.
Hey, I have this room booked at noon.
I'm just wrapping up here. Upwork professionals have the flexibility and capability to work from anywhere.
Yeah, it's 12:01.
Okay, it's all yours. Which is nice if you're already low on conference rooms. Plus, they're proven, rated, and reviewed. When you need in-demand talent on demand, Upwork is how.
This is a last chance alert. It's happening in just days. Publishers Clearing House will award $5,000 a week forever. Enter now at pch.com and you could win $5,000 a week for your life. Plus, after that, $5,000 a week for life for someone you choose. The $5,000 a week forever prize is guaranteed to be awarded on February 28th. So don't miss your last chance to win. Enter at pch.com before it's too late. That's pch.com. Hurry, award day is almost here. Go to pch.com now. Entries due 225. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited.
For help around the house with roofs, windows, kitchens, bathrooms, home additions, and basement remodels, trust the folks at Mega Pros. Satisfaction guaranteed. Go to megapros.com.
Winter's here. Make sure your cars and trucks are ready. Get them over to the certified service experts at Apple Chevrolet. Service manager Scott Potthoff standing by right now. Standing by. He's got that jacket on, you know, that service managers have. He's got that windbreaker. It's got the Apple Chevrolet logo on it, and he's waiting for your car to pull in. They have an amazing system. They just plug this doohickey into another doohickey, and everything downloads from your car. They know exactly what's going on. It's like a confessional for your Chevrolet. Right now, if you want to
car whisperer, you mean?
Yes, that's what it is. If you want to get your car winterized, 6-quart full synthetic oil change, tire rotation, inspection of all visible fluids, brakes, heating systems, wiper blades, exterior lights, battery test for $59.95. That's under $60. Plus, they got the tire match guarantee. You find a lower price, they'll give you the difference back if you purchase from them, or if you bring in a lower advertised price, they'll match it. Apple Chevrolet, that's why they're the best in the business. 8585 West 159th Street in Tinley Park, or applechevy.com. That's where you set up your service appointment. Apple Chevy, find new roads. We've got the news with Kim Gordon right now. Am I troubled by the fact that the staff here tried to trade me in the trade-in tool deal at Menards? Is that a problem? All right. Alderman Riley is with us. He is our alderman. He is a, this is, we have him on, not because he's our alderman, because you don't care that he's our alderman. You care about the things that this city is going to do to screw up your life, either whether you are in the city of Chicago or in the suburbs, how that's going to screw up your life, how the city's going to screw up your life. And I just found one here, alderman, and maybe you can help me understand exactly what's going on. I read here. And again, this is just a half a sentence, so, you know, take that with a grain of salt, that the city is considering a ban on all styrofoam and single-use plastics.
Yeah, that was actually introduced today by one of my colleagues.
By one of your colleagues?
Yes.
Okay, who is this troublemaker?
You've heard of him. His name's Alderman Wagasback.
Oh, my God.
The chairman of the Finance Committee.
I could have guessed. I mean, it's okay. Does anybody, we should have him on to answer for this, I suppose, but does, is there a plan for that?
I skimmed the ordinance. Uh-huh. I'll be honest, I'm not a sponsor of it. Don't plan to join as a sponsor of that ordinance. But what it does really, it gets at the plastic straw issue. It provides, I would say, guidance is probably a really forgiving term. It offers some mandates to the restaurant industry.
That by a certain amount of time, they got to ditch the plastic straw?
Or if people are dining in and you're a fast food restaurant, not automatically handing out plastic straws or plastic silverware.
Or if they're delivering, it's not coming in styrofoam.
Right.
So is my TV still going to have the styrofoam in that box?
Yes. So the way this works, actually, if a product is already being shipped in the material, or it's a beverage that already is encased in that material when it's sold, it doesn't apply to those products. It's really if for a fountain drink at a restaurant, those plastic cups or styrofoam, that kind of stuff is what they're getting at. If you order from Grubhub or one of the other apps, you typically you automatically get your plastic silverware and your plastic straws delivered. Now, this ordinance would require you to request those things. So it's not an outright ban. I think the...
Now, can you be prompted to request it? Would you like plastic?
Are you sure? Yeah, well, I doubt they'll do that. But you know, I think the intent is good. I just have a real issue generally when the city gets in the business of banning things because we share a border with a whole lot of suburbs, and my inclination is always to try and defend the Chicago business owner against their competitors across the border.
Exactly.
So I commend my colleague, but I think that ordinance may need some work.
So my burrito is going to come in a paper towel? I just don't understand, you know, how this is going to work. I mean, I understand. Okay, I get there are paper versions of these boxes now, right? Actually, you know what the lie of all times is? Anytime television or film shows you somebody eating Chinese food, they're eating it out of one of those foldable paper boxes.
Yep.
I have not seen one of those foldable paper boxes maybe ever in my life. Even when I was a kid, you'd order Chinese food, it would come in like a bucket kind of a thing, like a little bucket. Right? It wasn't a foldable thing.
I don't know where you're ordering your food from, cuz I get the little foldable.
Sometimes
thing.
The rice comes in that, but the rest of the stuff, the other goopy stuff, that doesn't come in that little box. And yet the people on Friends are always eating out of that box. I don't understand.
It looks better than a plastic container, Ro.
Yes, but okay, all right, maybe, but still it's not authentic. And so that would be okay though, right? Like a laminated paper.
Yeah, that stuff would not be banned.
Okay.
And a lot of restaurants are voluntarily, you know, they're proactively getting away from these products on their own.
You cannot tell me you like the paper straw. You cannot tell me that.
No, I think it's terrible. It's flimsy in like 10 seconds.
You're right.
You get three sips and it's a noodle.
Right. If you, God forbid you put it in an alcoholic drink, it actually dissolves in front of you. You watch it.
You're still drinking your cocktails through a straw?
Yes, I do. I actually put my hands behind my back, and I pretend I'm one of those ducks. I just go, I bend down onto the table, and then I go back.
I'll share your comments with Alderman Wagasback. I'm sure he'll appreciate them.
Tell him I said hello. You know, which is always the kiss of death in this town. Yeah. When you go, hey, tell him I said hello. Hey. Tell him I'm looking for him.
Hey.
All right. It's probably if there were to be some form of a set of restrictions coming out for plastic or styrofoam, it's likely to be a negotiated settlement here?
Absolutely.
Think?
So I'll be a part of those negotiations, and obviously I'll be representing the restaurant industry and the hotel lodging folks who have concerns about it.
Mm-hmm.
And the hope is we can find some middle ground, try and make progress on addressing the issue Alderman Wagesback wants to address without creating a major economic impairment for downtown businesses.
You know, we need more of the bamboo spork. That's what we need more of. That's a hot item right now, the bamboo spork. It's good. And bamboo, like, it's the top crop in the world or something like that.
It grows like weeds.
Yeah, it is a weed.
Yeah.
It's just a hard weed.
Okay.
That's the next conversation we're going to have. Hold on one second, Alderman. We'll come right back to you. But first, Lauren Lapka, what's happening in the roadways and the skies? It's the Rokan Show right here on 720 WGN. Here is our alderman, our favorite alderman, Brendan Riley, is with us. And I say that to all the aldermen who show up in the studio. Let's talk about weed for a second, Alderman, because I think that is, for city residents and also suburbanites who are coming into the city and they want to, you know, stop by a dispensary for their night out, it's shortages still. There are people who are going to the dispensary at 11 o'clock in the morning, noon, and they're closed already because they're out of all of the recreational weed. And people are complaining about the cost of this.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just, and it's not expensive because of the shortages necessarily. This is the pricing structure and the taxing structure, right?
I think so. You know, if you look at other jurisdictions as they rolled out recreational marijuana, they've all had the same issues that we're having here. Not enough product, having to reserve a lot of product for medical patients so they don't sell out on people's medicine. Prices tend to start high. The tax structure I can talk about in a second, but right now there isn't a whole lot of competition for these products. There's
right.
only a handful of dispensaries out there selling this stuff, and so those prices are, I think, artificially high. The tax rate is also very, very high on the city level, so there's a blend of taxes that they layer on top of the marijuana. The state has a big tax, a couple big taxes they put on. The county, I believe, just layered on a new tax today. The city has a 3% tax. All that adds up to somewhere around 35% or so on top of your retail bill. So it is a substantial tax rate.
See, that's why people are calling Mikey Sensimilia again and saying, hey, Mikey, I'm sorry. I tried to go legit. I can't go legit. I'm going back to you.
Well, again, the mayor is considering lowering the city piece to address that concern. I think a lot of people who are visiting dispensaries now are doing it because they don't want to be a part of the black market anymore. They want to go
right.
legitimate. If you're pulled over in your vehicle and you have marijuana in your car, it better be in the dispensary packaging. Because that's a requirement by state law.
Mikey Sensimilia sells that too.
Well, he better, because Mikey Sensimilia's stuff will get confiscated and you'll get a ticket. So I think that we're going to see, as more of these dispensaries come online in the July-August timeframe, when a lot of the social equity licenses are awarded and those places open, the competition will naturally bring prices down.
Also, aren't you allowed to have a plant in your house, though?
I think you're one or two.
Yeah.
If you're a medical patient.
Oh, I get that.
Recreationally,
yeah.
I don't think you can.
My
grow those.
Neck hurts. Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay. I'm just trying to get around the traffic stop right now.
But
all right.
Sorry. But mm-hmm. You know what I think? What I think, though, is that once they've got up to scale on growing for recreational, they want it to segregate so much of that for medical patients, and they'll have more products available for recreational users, and I think across the board prices will come down.
All right, Alderman Brendan Riley, the question really is this: when will there be a liberalization of these strictures that exist right now in terms of limited number of facilities that you can go buy at and where you can smoke it? Because there's these guys who want to get these licenses for doing like smokehouses, essentially, mm-hmm. the same sort of thing that cigar smokers have been doing.
Right. The state law, I don't want to just bag on the legislature here, but the state law does have a bit of a flaw in it. In order to operate a consumption on premise type of license, mm-hmm. where people can come in and smoke their marijuana products, one, you can't sell marijuana on site. You have to derive 80% of your revenue from selling tobacco. So there's a problem right there. If 80% of your revenue has to be tobacco products,
mm-hmm.
you're not catering to cigarette smokers. You're catering to marijuana smokers. What's the likelihood that all those folks are going to come in and buy tobacco from you? There are provisions where you can't charge a cover to get in. So I'm failing to see where the profit model is in the current regime. I don't see how anyone who gets this license can make any money off of it. You're not allowed to sell alcohol, which is probably a good thing. But it also restricts you from selling food like they do in the coffee houses in Amsterdam.
That's
where you should make your money, on the munchies.
Oh, my God. Right? Just fried chicken all day long.
Exactly. So my point is, I think the state needs to do better to sweeten that offer. I think that they stuck these things with tobacco licenses to satisfy people who are worried about smoking indoors and the Clean Air Act and all that. So it's an imperfect law. I think that needs to be tweaked, and I'm going to actually offer to go to Springfield and help the mayor with that this spring.
So there's plenty of work to be done here still.
There sure is. Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Since we're on the issue of sin, I might as well just continue to work down this road. The state of Indiana has already figured out how to do gaming on your phone, right? Mm-hmm. And that's sort of micro betting and the sort of stuff that's happening. We've now, with the casino and the gambling bill that was passed here last year, we're waiting on that in Illinois. Mm-hmm. What is the holdup? Do you know?
I believe that we're going to have a legislative fix in Springfield by the end of session in May. Governor Pritzker has made a commitment to working with Mayor Lightfoot to make the necessary adjustments so that a Chicago casino is financeable. And I think in that effort, they'll be working to clean up a few other issues that relate to folks outside of the city of Chicago.
Right.
But the tax structure makes it impossible for anyone to get a loan to go and build a casino. With casinos, kind of like with marijuana, you front load a lot of risk. You got to spend a lot of money, tens of millions of dollars on the license and the build out and all these sorts of things, fees to the state. That's hard. But then if you can't prove to the financiers that there's a profit margin, you're not going to get your loan. So that's what's problematic with the current law as it applies to Chicago. So for us to have a viable license here, some tweaks need to be made to the tax structure, which means the state getting a bit less, and I think the city as well. So I'm hoping we'll have an update on the Chicago casino sometime late February. Early March.
But that's still years away because they got to
build it.
You got to build it and got to hire all the guys with no necks to explain to you that you can't touch the chips when they're on the table and all that, all those things. But the micro betting piece, which may end up being incredibly profitable because it is so, it's automatic, right? I mean, you're going to take a piece of every transaction like that. People are doing it on their phones, and they're going to be doing it as they have been in Europe. I mean, it is a gigantic industry in Europe. And people, the idea of the ethics of this or the humanity behind this and making it easier for people to gamble away their money, we have to put all those arguments aside because the horse is out of the barn.
Right.
Question is now, if the state wants to make money off of this, that is an opportunity that is being lost because they're just sitting back there. Now, eventually, it's geofenced in Indiana. You can't, if you're here, you're not able to, bet off your phone. That won't work. But if you're in Indiana, you can do it. And Indiana seems to have some things going as well that are incredibly, they've got casinos that are getting built, and they're moving a little bit faster than we are.
Well, I'm sure the legislature here is paying close attention, and if it's working well in Indiana, Illinois is famous for borrowing good ideas from other people.
Yeah, well, that's fine.
And I'm fine with that, too. So my guess is that will be looked at. But I agree with you. People should be concerned about making gambling too accessible and too easy, because a lot of folks that can't afford it get addicted to it.
Right, and it's right on your phone.
Yep.
Right? And it's
too easy.
That's very easy.
That's not driving to the casino to make a bet. That's pulling out your phone.
The casino. Now, the other thing, though, is that they wanted to, there was talk when this was happening that the companies that were interested in doing this digital mobile version wanted to be up and ready to go for the Super Bowl. And then, of course, you got March Madness right around the corner after the Super Bowl. And it doesn't seem like any of that's going to, we're not even close.
They're certainly not going to be ready for March Madness in the state of Illinois.
Yeah.
Because it takes too long to pass the law.
Do I have to go to Indiana for March Madness? I mean, I just don't, I don't feel, that's too much of a sacrifice for me.
Maybe have your friend in Indiana make your bets for you and you can stay here.
I think that's illegal. Because we call that a bookie.
Oh, well, then don't do that.
Right.
Because I would never encourage you to break
the law. Mikey sent Amelia's cousin, Mikey Books.
Mikey Books.
Mikey Books. He might be Mikey sent Amelia, as far as I'm concerned. He sounds exactly like him on the phone. That guy, you know, and that guy shows up at my work, you know, like, you know, once every other week. Hey, I'm, you know, that thing.
Don't call Indiana.
I'm real sorry about Ohio State. All right. Alderman, it's always a pleasure to have you here.
Thanks, Ro.
Anything else? Would you like to, is there something of great import you'd like to share with us in 5 seconds?
Just that we did put a resolution in to honor Sporty the dog. I don't know if you remember Sporty. He was the golden retriever who walks himself.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
He passed away, so we honored him at City Council
today. Love that dog. We used to see him on Michigan.
He's a cutie.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Alderman.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it. We got news from the North Boston Medicine Newsroom, too. It's the Ro Khan Show right here on 720 WGN. We're going to play News or Ruse in the 5 o'clock hour. And I just want to tell you, we're playing for one of the greatest prizes we have ever given away on this radio program. It is a ski weekend winter getaway package, Granite Peak Ski Area, Rib Mountain State Park in the heart of Wisconsin, right there in Wausau. You're going to receive 4 ski lift tickets and 2-night stay in Wausau for the best skiing in the Midwest. And to book your stay, visit SkiGranitePeak.com. Yeah, I drive by that in the summer when I go up to the North Woods once or twice during the summer. And I'm always amazed as you're driving, you know, straight up that the spine of Wisconsin, right up 51. And then, bang, there it is. All of a sudden, there's a mountain. You know,
you don't really see those around here.
Like you leave Stevens Point, you make a left, and the next thing you know, or is it a right? I can't remember. And then all of a sudden, boom, there's like a whole like thing there.
And they got quite a lot of snow already, from what I hear.
It's got to be. I don't do the skiing or the snowboarding because I just figure out that's not going to. I'm going to end up in traction, and that's, you know, I did it when I was a kid and almost ended up in traction. I'm like, I love the sensation of it. Seems like a lot of fun.
I've been snowboarding for over 25 years.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Can I ask you two a question? Because we'll ask this also at 312-981-7200. You just brought this up in the sports, Kevin Powell, that the Boston Red Sox say that they want their World Series fair and square. They weren't doing the cheating. They just fired their manager, but he wasn't the manager at the time. Right? For their World Series?
Yeah, he was. Yeah, this was the year after 2017 when he was with the Astros. They're calling him the ringleader of the cheating scandal, which was using video to capture what the catcher was putting down for a pitcher. So it was tipping off pitches, essentially, and then they were relaying what they saw on a monitor in the dugout. I mean, it doesn't get more blatant than this.
Yeah.
The general manager and the manager of the Houston Astros were fired. Cora fired yesterday by the Red Sox.
But do we know if the Red Sox were doing this?
Well, they're investigating that.
Okay.
The investigation is ongoing by Major League Baseball.
Should the Houston Astros, let's just go back to what we know and how we know it and when we know it. Should the Houston Astros have to give back their rings, and should we etch them off that trophy that I don't fully understand, that World Series trophy? It's got too many flags on it.
I'm sure you could ask 100 people that question and you could get a 50-50 split on it. I don't know if the discipline should be that harsh. People have already lost their jobs over it. I'm just surprised no players are facing any suspensions because...
Yeah, they were in on it.
The players were in on it, and everybody knew what was going on. So I don't think they should forfeit their World Series. I'm sure some people absolutely think they should after getting caught doing this.
I think they should.
I think they should, but it is complicated. I mean, they play so many games in a year, and then obviously you have the whole playoff run.
But they're doing it for all of it. It's not like they just you know, pick it up and they go, hey, you know what? Today, remember, we're going to put that monitor in the dugout just for this one game only. I mean, apparently they had been doing it.
So let's say a handful of players got caught doing steroids and that team won a World Series. Do you think the team would have to forfeit the World Series?
Yes. That means that there will be no World Series winners from any team in the 1990s. Not a single one.
It's the same concept though, right? They cheated.
Yeah, it's
yeah, but there's a difference between cheating a system because you're injecting your body with something and it's individual player by individual player and skill sets are skill sets. This is a team. This is, it took It took geniuses. It took an IT guy, undoubtedly. They had to use some technical dude to do it because I looked at that Alex Cora. He doesn't look like he could set up a camera and an iPad and all the rest of that. That guy looks like a real baseball manager to me.
I'm surprised the guy who installed the camera didn't reach out to anybody questioning why they wanted to position it right there just so it could see the catcher ever so perfectly. It was kind of weird.
It's a different level of cheating than individuals, you know, sneaking around and taking a banned substance.
Well, yeah, it's a team cheat,
it's an organizational cheat. I mean, there's technology and there's a bunch of people lined up to do it, and there's super secret. It's like a CIA operation.
Yeah, I don't think the CIA is relaying messages by banging trash cans, though. But yes,
surprised.
I might be wrong.
I'm gonna get Bob Barrett to tell you that they did something even simpler than that once. All right, let's check in with Lauren Lapko. What's happening on the roadways and the skies? It's the Rokan Show right here on 720 WGN. We're just talking about Kevin Powell's doing the sports over here, and he's got random thoughts. Lauren Lapko, she has a lot of thoughts on sports, but she does the traffic, the weather, and she corrects all of her mistakes. Now, I have noticed that on the text line here, a lot of people are weighing in on whether or not the Houston Astros should be required to forfeit their World Series win because they were involved in an intricate technical scheme to steal the signs that the pitcher and the catcher were exchanging before each pitch.
Yes.
Dirty, rotten cheaters.
Yes.
Dirty, rotten cheaters. 847 texting, and should the people who won bets on the Astros give their winnings back?
If they were in on it.
What about the people that lost?
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Should they be able to sue? I mean, let's think about that.
Well, 773 even makes a good point. Were they only doing it at home games? Because if that's all they were doing it at, then obviously half the games, they don't have that leverage.
Let's look at their home record versus their road record, Kevin Powell.
I'll have to pull it up from 2017.
Do you mind doing that? I know that there's the Schmahoogle machine that'll help you out with that.
You got to figure for sure, because the system they had in place was elaborate. I mean, they had camera, then they had as most teams do have this now anyway, where it's they have monitors right outside the dugout, so mm-hmm. they can run in real quick and they can go back and look at their previous at bat against a pitcher. They can just go back pitch by pitch. But the Astros were using that room to then relay what the pitch was being called for,
and then they'd bang on a trash can.
Right, and then when they amped it up even more, they said, "You know what? Let's cut out the middle man," because the guys were like running from the video replay room to the dugout and be like, "This is a curveball. This is a fastball," and they were like, "You know what? Let's just put a monitor in the dugout." So it was elaborate. I'm not sure exactly what it was.
How did nobody notice?
Well, there was the video that where you can hear a trash can being hammered, that sound.
Yeah.
That one.
Mm-hmm.
There were some other videos that came out where you could see pitchers were looking into the Astros dugouts kind of confused. Like, what was that? What are you guys doing?
Right.
Nothing.
But nobody did anything about it.
No, we dropped it.
We're just goofing.
Did you drop that? Why'd you drop that? Go ahead. Keep pitching.
Doing some house cleaning over here. I got a trash can.
Right. These damn trash cans.
Their 2017 road record was actually better than their home record, believe it or not. They were home there 48-33.
See, it does not. You shouldn't cheat.
And the road, they were 53-28. They didn't even need it. I mean, that team was loaded, too. That's what's like, you know, the steroid era, you feel like, you know, people put an asterisk next to it or whatever. It sucks because this Astros team has been very fun to watch over the past few years. I know it just feels a little different now, knowing what we know. But they were so loaded that year. It's like, why? Why did you develop this scheme? And it's baseball. And the people are always going to try to find a way to, in any sport. Baseball, for whatever reason, has always had, you know, the guy with the spitball or steroids. People have always been stealing.
Pine tar, all kinds of little things, yeah.
Cork bats.
Yep, yes. Yep. Oh, that was the worst. Oh, wait, it broke?
Oh, it broke. Now let me get that real quick. Let me get the bat from you real quick.
No, I got it. I'll put it back together. I like this bat.
It was my
I'm going to glue it.
I'll get it.
Yeah, don't look at that bat.
No, wait. That's not what that is.
So. How did that get there?
That's it. See, that's why with all the cheating?
Yeah.
You know, the spitball, like that Vaseline on the ball and all that stuff that they were doing on there. Mm-hmm. And you could see a guy doing it, right? But this idea,
It's the technology component of it all. I think that has everybody a little bit more than just the guy on second base peeking behind.
Yeah, they mechanized it.
Yeah.
That's what they did.
And it just feels wrong.
Yes.
It doesn't feel right.
You know, you have a hot dog vendor out in center field who's stealing the signs, and then he just hits the lid on his hot dog container once for fastball, twice for curveball.
There's been teams before that have been accused of putting things on a video board out, like in the ballpark scoreboard, you know, flashing a light.
Oh, yeah.
For,
I read that.
There's been accusations of teams doing that. So if teams can get an edge, they're going to find a way to do it.
Well, it's the other thing, too, is that, well, if they're doing it, we're going to do it because then they have the edge if we don't have the edge.
Everybody's doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, people are pointing to.
Can Rob Manfred go, you know, if the Houston Astros walked off a bridge, would you do the same thing? They may have just done it, though, right? I mean, this is...
Yeah, this might be how the his memo to the entire league begins. A lot of people are pointing to college teams that have been stripped. We've seen that quite a bit, teams being stripped of victories and national titles. The USC, there was... I can't even keep track of all the sanctions that have been thrown down throughout college athletics, but the USC was stripped of a national title, and Reggie Bush was stripped of his Heisman.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
For I believe that had something to do with recruiting violations or whatever.
I see that some of that stuff. There are rules in recruiting, but that seems less egregious to me than actually cheating in the game. Right, the game itself, the action of cheating in the game is just it just goes against it. And there's a difference between college and pro sports too, because in college sports we're actually treating them like unpaid interns,
right?
Who are giving up their bodies. We're supposed to be teaching them a lesson about how to do it the right way. So if your university is doing it the wrong way, well, then everybody has to suffer. The great ironies of all of that. But in professional sports, I think it's kind of an understood thing that if you know somebody's going to try and outsmart them, get a better edge.
Well, we were talking about this during the break. A listener texted in from the 423, by the way. I have no idea where that is. The Astros still had to hit the ball, which is a good point because... If you ever sat close or seen like a major league pitcher throw a curveball,
even if you know what's
the only thought you're going to have to yourself is how the hell does anyone ever hit those?
Yeah,
well, so but it's a crazy advantage, obviously.
Yes, it is because you could just lay off a pitch.
If it's going to be a
moving ball, if it's going to be a slider or a curveball, the people don't always throw the straight curve so much anymore because people's elbows would just pop out of their. Literally just their forearm would disengage from the upper arm and it was just all over. But even if they were, you just know that that ball is unlikely to be in the strike zone. So you just lay off it. So your on base percentage goes up. Very frustrating. I wonder how these, and the pitchers, here's the problem. The pitchers had to know that this was going on. And if the pitchers had to know what was going on, weren't they offended? Because then they would think, well somebody's probably doing that to me. And that's going to screw up their bonuses. The whole thing is wrong. And did you see this other story? I'm sorry, I just want to throw this out there. This story about Khalil Mack. Talk about your cheating. Khalil Mack, over the holidays, he's from Florida. In his hometown, Walmart, he gave them $80,000 to pay off the layaways so people could go and get their Christmas presents for their families.
And how much of that went to the layaways, bro?
$60,000 that went to the layaways. Oh. Yeah. The other $20,000 went to the employees themselves who then decided to use it for themselves. Well, who's not going to jail for that?
Yeah, that.
And do you want to make Khalil Mack mad? Have you seen Khalil Mack mad? You don't want to make Khalil Mack mad.
That's awful.
All this cheating. By the way, the Astros fan convention is this weekend. Awkward timing. That should be interesting.
And the way they figured this out was that there was one employee who didn't get the money. And figured it out, and then ratted it out.
I would totally rat everybody out. if that was me.
Hey, wait a second! How about that? I mean, that's low down, right? That's not what it was intended to. Either give them the money back, give them the excess back. Say, hey, we're done here. You get your $20,000 back, and maybe then he goes, okay, well then you guys go buy yourself something nice, something pretty.
But otherwise, it's stealing.
Right. I mean, doesn't that seem... And they're like, well, no, it's still stealing. I mean, he gave us some money. I mean...
Not for you.
That's not right. And I don't... You know, I... perhaps I'm sounding a little naive there, but that's not right. Okay. Coming up, we've got oh my God, this is unbelievable. Spotify is unveiling playlists for your pets when you're not home. What? You know, there's like a whole TV channel dedicated to teaching a dog how to pee on a tree. We'll get to all of that, but first we got news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom coming your way in 2 minutes. It's the Rokan Show, 720 WGN. Coming up in just a few minutes, we are going to share with you, well, one of my favorite features that we do on this program, science nobody asked for. It's one of my favorite things. But that's a few minutes away. What I want to bring to you now, this story. Do you see the Spotify, you know, the audio service, sharing service, is launching a playlist generator for your pets.
Okay.
So when you're not home. Now, I know that they already have this in the world of television.
Yes.
There are, I think DirecTV has got this product.
There's a channel just for pets.
Yeah. Deep after, it's interesting, it's in that part of DirecTV, it's after everything that is remotely relevant happens.
No man's land on the channel guide.
Right in the 500s, late in the 500s, before you get to the 600s, which is, you know, specialty, and then you've got 700 to sports and all that. There is, you're in the 500s, and it's like $5.99. A TV channel that shows you a dog running around or a squirrel running around or whatever it is to get your dog interested in watching TV. Now, I will say this. Now, dogs, generally, I've not known a lot of dogs watch TV. My grand dog, though, does. My kid's dog does.
And just stares at the TV?
Yeah, stares at the TV.
Huh.
I know a lot of dogs will go, like my brother's dog will jump at the TV if there's another animal on it.
Yes.
So, like, try to paw at the screen.
Right.
So you can tell some dogs do actually watch.
Yes, this dog just sits there, and because it's an English bulldog, it decides it wants to sit there. It's sitting there beats actually having to move, and his head just like kind of cocks to the left and cocks to the right as things are happening. It's like as humans are doing whatever they're doing.
Huh?
It's just kind of sitting there watching. Trying to learn English, I think.
What does he like watching? Does he follow the news? Is he
he's a big Lifetime guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Nice. I mean, it's kind of surprising. You know, as a guy, I would imagine they wouldn't be all that interested in it. But then again, he did get fixed. So maybe that that does have something to do with it. So anyway, so the Spotify product, you go to their website and you figure out what kind of a dog you have. Do you have a smart dog? Do you have a calm dog? Would you like to show your dog how much you love them? There's relaxation music for your dog.
Enya.
Peaceful pets. So this is music for the smart dog. It's for the smart dog, but the dumb human, I think, is what we just learned.
I feel like I'm getting a massage.
I was going to say, this might be the music they use at the Bobby Kraft massage parlor.
Allegedly, Kevin Powell.
Allegedly.
You know, you do sports. You should have more respect. I don't know what makes this smart for the dog.
I kind of like this. I might pull this up for myself. That's a relaxation session.
You know what I really like? I really like smart the smart pet.
Really into it.
Yeah.
Great track.
All right, let's do here's relaxation for your pet. Sounds like an Eagle song. About to break out.
But it sounded like Twilight.
Creepy radio guys set these up. Coming up, get ready to relax.
How is this different from smart, really? I mean, same.
I'll tell you how it's different. They're just proving how dumb we are. Okay. Now, our sonic genius, I have to get rid of that because now it's making me want to sleep.
Yeah.
Our sonic genius, Brian Altimer, downloaded some of these for his own pets. And his dog, Crambone, I swear to God, that is the name of the dog. I am not making that up. I make up names. I am not making that up. I couldn't even make that name up if I wanted to. His dog, Crambone, it turns out, I happen to think this is racist, what Spotify did. It's reggae.
Okay.
So a dog named Crambone has to be into the reggae thing? I don't know, man.
Well, maybe because it's a cool name, they thought he was a cool dog, and
yeah,
the stoner dog.
Yeah, I don't know, maybe.
A dog named Crambone should be listening to something like this. Yo, Crambone!
Right. Okay. Huh. You can also get it for your cat. Like, your cat doesn't care if you live or you die. Why would your cat care about music?
Cat seems like it would find a way to turn off the music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, what is a human doing to me with this lousy music?
Right.
I need silence so I can hear my enemies approaching.
I am going to... And by the way, when I say my enemies, I mean everyone in this room. I'm going to chew through the speaker wire now because I just finally figured it out. Is this the cat music? Here we go. Oh, no. Really? Two on the nose. It's like purring and scratching.
There was a lawnmower.
It sounds like the start to a, like... creepy thriller drama on HBO.
I'm going to say this, though. This does like sound like something that a cat would like.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, it's annoying, and it's sort of like, yeah, keep playing my music. Let's see how long it takes for you to go crazy.
Very cat.
That's very cat, yeah. Huh. All right.
Strange.
And we have a song for an iguana. Can an iguana even hear music? Apparently.
Wow.
I'm telling you right now, the iguana's like, that's culturalist.
Yeah, very cultural.
Thinks that's like that nature music that they play when I'm crawling on a tree. A Nat Geo. All right. Lauren, do you have the traffic and the weather? Rokan Show right here, 720 WGN. Every couple of weeks or so, we like to call through the science news. It's happening around our fair world. And we realize that a lot of money and time and energy is spent on studies that mean nothing, that have no basis in our real lives. Frivolous science nobody asked for. Or stupid studies nobody asked for. Even better. So, in this particular edition, I'd like to share just a few with you. According to a study conducted by Ian Humphreys and his team, bacon can quickly and effectively treat nosebleeds.
What? By shoving it up your nose?
Yes.
But what about all the grease and the fat that you're shoving up your nose?
For this bizarre method to work, one must plug the bleeding nostril with a piece of cured pork. The meat must be uncooked. At Detroit Medical Center, Humphreys and his colleagues tested their bacon hypothesis on a girl who had an unpronounceable disorder here. Glanzmann thrombocythemia.
So often nosebleeds, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
A rare disease that causes prolonged bleeding. And they stuck a piece of cured pork inside her nose. The bleeding stopped immediately. Now, who in the hell was thinking to themselves, you know what we should do here?
Well, now, would this work for any wound or just particular nosebleeds? Like, if you got a cut on your arm, throw a little bacon on it, stop the bleeding?
The results of this research were just published in the Annals of Otology, Rhinology, and Laryngology.
Daily reading for
I get that, yes. Yeah. I get that at home.
So subscribe to it.
I asked for a publicity copy.
Do they give a reason for why?
Researchers acknowledge that doctors had used cured pork to treat nosebleeds in the past. However, the practice was discontinued because, isn't the cured pork, I mean, you got like a potential for parasitic or bacterial complication there.
Right.
Yeah, because you're supposed to cook the bacon. Mm-hmm. I know the trichinosis doesn't, everybody's worried about raw pork because of trichinosis, and that doesn't really exist so much in the Western world anymore. But still, I'm not sticking raw pork up my nose. I'm just going to wait for the bleeding to stop.
That is the strangest thing.
Kind of want to give it a shot now. I might punch myself in the face tonight when I get home while I'm cooking some bacon
in
the cast iron.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, man. Can Viagra shorten jet lag recovery time?
Wow.
Oh, interesting. So we all know what Viagra is used for, but the National University of Quilmes in Buenos Aires has discovered that this light blue pill might also help treat jet lag. It's going to make the flight a little different for you, though.
Yeah, you might have to keep like a sweatshirt over your lap.
Flight attendant, I'm uncomfortable sitting here.
I got a blanket to put on my lap.
They conducted this study on hamsters that were injected with Viagra after they administered the drug. The rodents' sleep cycles were pushed ahead by 6 hours. The approximate amount of time needed to fly from New York to Paris. I don't know why a hamster would want to fly from New York to Paris, but okay.
What about females?
The hamsters on Viagra recovered from jet lag 50% faster than the hamsters without Viagra. Although the results were fairly positive, scientists do not know the same effect will occur in humans. But we know for the hamsters it's really working out. I think it's for both boys and girls.
Yeah, but I would worry as a female.
Taking the Viagra?
What else would happen? Yeah.
What would happen?
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, what Viagra is doing is it's just basically redilating your blood vessels. This is, you know, Viagra wasn't invented just for this. It was a side effect of another drug, and they're like, hey, this is a good idea.
Oh, yeah, it was like found on accident, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Why, they're all standing around.
Hey, wait a second.
What's going on here?
And where's my book bag?
Strong gust of wind, sorry.
Do smaller dogs lift their legs higher when they have to go to the bathroom?
I've noticed some male dogs don't even lift their legs sometimes.
I know. My English bulldog does not.
See?
Right. Because
he's like, forget it, too much work.
Right. Because he's like, oh, my God. I'd just rather go on my front paws. Mommy will clean it up. I don't have to worry about anything. Now, this is interesting. Because you can never have too much scientific information about a dog's bathroom habits. Cornell University. Cornell University did a study in which a team walked a bunch of male dogs of all sizes, and then they measured their markings. They also videotaped the dogs as they were doing this, too.
That's not creepy.
Not shockingly, they found that the higher a dog lifts its leg to pee, the higher he applies his effluence to said target. Well, isn't that the whole point? Aren't they trying to, like,
market?
Johnny was just here. Oh, I hate Johnny. Oh, I'll show Johnny.
This is my bush.
Right.
What's he doing in our territory?
I like when the dog then decides not just going to go pee. It's going to go scratch. It's going to go get rid of all the other stuff. It's going to go on the grass, and it's going to use its back legs to kick all the other scents and then go over that. Look at this.
That reminds me of a really funny story. I was walking a dog one time, getting paid, and it was a giant Newfoundland who happened to go to the bathroom, and then he started doing it. He managed to kick up his droppings and splash it over a fence in the neighborhood, and I ran away so fast with that dog.
Not with the dog. You're on your own, Newfie.
Forget it.
Oh, my gosh.
I lost the dog.
It
Sorry.
Was awful.
You ever wonder how cocaine affects bees? Well, it turns out University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign has analyzed this problem. Team found that by giving bees cocaine, it prompted the bees to circle about 25% quicker than bees that were not on the cocaine. As well as dance more exuberantly for a longer period of time. Because there is a bee dance behavior. That's how they communicate with each other. Because they got to get figured out. Because they're pretty in lockstep about things.
Yeah.
They kind of got it figured out. Mm-hmm. Right? So they do like this whole like rumba thing in front of each other. And they're like, oh, yeah, no, I get it. Arthur's got a problem over here.
Stop dancing, man. What's wrong with you?
Oh, my God. I feel so good. I feel so good. Oh, this is just the best. Isn't this the best? I think we're making the best honey ever. Where's the queen? I'd like to see the queen. Is she here? Oh, she's so cool. I'm just a drone. I know I'm a drone. What the hell will be a queen? Another study that has no use in science, but somehow somebody paid for it. Is there a logic behind the direction a dog faces when they go to the bathroom, when they go number two?
Why are people so focused on dogs and bathroom behavior?
That's actually interesting. I wonder what the reason is.
And now, I have to say that I have wondered this. Because when they do that turnaround thing,
Oh, they like position themselves.
Yeah,
very strategically.
So they go left, right. Then they go right, they go left, left, right, left, right, oh, and then bang, right there.
Yeah,
it's like, all right, I'm ready.
Right,
and that's how you know, and that's the whole point of the walk, especially when it's cold outside, like this time of year, like tonight, it's going to be terrible, so cold that you know you take the dog out, and you want that dog get right to it,
in and out.
Right? Mm-hmm. We're not screwing around here. We're going out. We're going to do this. And when the dog does a little happy dance before, and now it's going to left and right. And since it starts doing that or going around in a circle, you're like, all right, woo, this is good. We're almost done. Mama's going home.
So what did the study say?
It says for 2 years, they observed 70 dogs of 37 different breeds. This is a German and Czech Republic study. And they found there were 1,893 incidents of going to the bathroom and 5,582 number ones. And what they found was that dogs preferred to excrete with the body being aligned along the north-south axis under the calm magnetic field conditions. In other words, dogs like to face north or south when they do what they're doing because they're reacting to the Earth's magnetic field. I am telling you right now, my dog is not reacting to the Earth's magnetic field.
That is the craziest thing I've ever heard.
Right? I mean, there is not a moment where the dog's like, you know what I really need to do here? I really need to get my chakra aligned here. Anybody know which way's north? Which way's north? Wait, I got to look at the sun. I got it. All right. Okay, west. All right, east, west. All right, I got it.
I'm not buying that one.
No, I don't buy that either. No. I would think maybe a balance thing. Like they just want to make sure that they are on steady ground.
All right. And finally, finger length can be directly associated with high SAT scores.
What?
Yep. I know you. You thought you knew what I was going to say, didn't you? All right, we've got a top 5 at 5, you won't believe. And then we're playing News or Ruse in the 5 o'clock hour. You want to stay tuned for that. You want to take part in it. It's one of the big deals we got going here. We got news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.
It's the top 5 on the Rokan Show.
5.
Let's go.
4, 3, 2, 1.
Now, it's the top 5 at 5 on the Rokan Show, sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
That's right, top 5 at 5, the top 5 things that are most interesting or entertaining that you need to know about today that have audio attached to them. I hate to just explain things to you. It's got to have audio attached.
Always very fun.
Got to have sound, yeah. All right, checking in at
number 5.
Oh, there was trouble in the city council today. All right, so there was a piece of legislation that was passing through. And I wouldn't even call it legislation, although technically it is. It was an authorization to start a study to see if members of the gay community in Chicago need set-aside programs. Set-aside programs like, you know, money or program, set aside for programs to help or employment opportunities for gay people because they would be otherwise discriminated against, right? They're set-asides mm-hmm. for gotcha. Many, 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 many different ethnicities, right, and mm-hmm. and cultural groups here, and this was about the LGBTQ community. Well, two members of the Black Caucus, your leaders, you got Jason Ervin and Walter Burnett. They were not too happy about this because it's quite a controversial issue, being gay in the Black community.
Now, you know, I don't have a problem voting on the study, but I'm just letting you know I have a concern. I have a concern about the system being manipulated, and I have a concern about, you know, maybe helping someone else and hurting some other folks that's already hurting, you know, and that's a concern of mine. And you know, I'm not gay bashing. You know, I have friends that's gay. I have family members that's gay. You know what I'm saying? I help gay people every day. I do business with gay folks. It ain't about the gay thing. It's about the white male, the white privilege thing that Alderman Tunney says that goes on in our society.
All I could think about was a white guy saying, I have black friends. I have, I have tons of blacks. They're African American. I do business with them.
I do. I've helped them.
I help them sometimes.
I would do business with them. I've even sometimes eaten in front of them.
The irony of it all.
Well, if Chicago only had a black gay mayor, I wonder how she'd feel about it.
I'm disturbed by the nature of the committee discussion and the nature of the discussion here today. We need not ask anyone's indulgence, patience, or forgiveness or acceptance to be who we are and who we love. And that will never happen as long as I am in this body. And it's also shameful for any member of a discriminated community to give indulgence to offensive words spoken by someone else. In some ways, that's even worse. My friends, the pie is big enough to slice it in lots of other ways. What we are asking for is data, a study to determine where we are. And yes, of course, we need to work on other issues, but we need not victimize, demonize, and discriminate through our words against anyone else, because we are worried about what the size of the pie is going to be for me. So please, our children are watching. Please choose your words carefully.
I said I work with them. I've even shaken hands with them.
This is funny, the whole dynamic here.
Only in the city council. But I do like, you know, Alderman Burnett. He's been around a long time. I mean, he's as political an insider can get, really, now. He's a boss. He's a guy. And she was not going to have any of this. Not going
to
have
wrong mayor to mess with.
Right, exactly. I do have to say, one thing about her that is absolutely refreshing is she just takes no prisoners. I know we're sort of in that moment in politics, but she doesn't take prisoners in like a real kind of smart way.
Right. She's not mean about it. She's just very
forthright,
powerful about it.
Indignant would be the thing. I said I've seen them on the street and I didn't cross.
I'm not gay bashing. You know, I have friends that's gay. I have family members that's gay. You know what I'm saying? I help gay people every day. I do business with gay folks.
Oh, God. Didn't he have to know that Mayor Lightfoot was not going to be happy about that? Didn't he have to know that? All right. Let's do this. Let's find out from Lauren Lapko what's happening on the roads and in the skies. We'll get to your 4, 3, 2, and 1.
Early morning, stay safe and stay connected with Morgan Kochmeyer's weather forecast and Sarah Gindra's traffic reports. Weekdays 4 to 6 on WGN TV Morning News.
All right, top 5 at 5 continues.
Number 4.
That's what we're up to, number 4. All right, there's trouble at the Illinois State Lottery. They're losing money. How is that possible? How is that even remotely possible? Numbers of a comparison between the last 6 months of 2018 and the last 6 months of 2019 showed a $64 million drop in receipts that were sent to the schools, right? It goes to the school fund, theoretically. That's what the lottery is supposed to do. That's how we got it passed a billion years ago. Oh, yes, no, we're doing this to help the schools. What they did not acknowledge was that in doing that, they took the money from the general fund away from the schools. And said, well, we'll just replace it with money from the lottery. And now all of a sudden the money isn't coming in. So CBS2 started asking a bunch of questions. What they wanted to know, they talked to the Better Government Association, and they say that, you know, there's this private company that runs a lottery here now, and it costs $26 million a year to hire them.
Lottery is in a fight for its life.
Is anybody sounding an alarm?
You're not hearing a lot so far. You know, these numbers are new, but the problems at the Illinois Lottery are not new. If, as some people think, we're going to face a recession sometime, maybe late 2020, then those numbers will really start to go down.
Yeah, but they also talk about discretionary money, right? People use discretionary money on the lottery. Well, now you could use your discretionary money on the weed.
I have this kind of fun money, and the choice is, do people want to get high or do they want to gamble? When economic times get tight, they usually can't do both.
You know, You know, my suggestion is you start gambling because, you know, that might turn your luck around.
You might get it back.
I love how it's like Pottersville now. We have turned Illinois into that, you know, when George Bailey is running through the town and it's other but strip clubs and, you know, all the bad stuff, casinos. And Ma's running a boarding house for the heroin addicts or whatever it is. That's basically what happened here. We were never exactly, you know, before we
squeaky clean.
No, but we were. But at least now we're acting like surprised that there's trouble. All right, checking in at
number three,
Nick Wallenda. Remember him?
Mm-hmm.
He walked across the Chicago River on a tightrope.
Yeah, that guy.
Remember that?
Spoiler alert, he made it.
That's right.
Across, successfully. Right.
Then he did the tightrope thing in Times Square. He walked across Times Square on a tightrope.
Yeah, with his sister, right?
Yeah. 1,000 feet above. Now, he's playing top this with himself.
Oh, boy.
His next adventure is to walk across a volcano.
Classic thrill seeker.
An active volcano. He told ABC News, my guess is this is going to be on ABC. This is why he told ABC News this. Just a little guess. He told ABC News, here's what the biggest challenge is going to be.
It's the gas. The gases that are in the air. It is a sulfuric gas, so it literally will burn your eyes. It'll burn your throat, so you can't breathe it if it becomes very thick. And they can become blinding. And that is extremely intimidating, the fact that, you know, as a wire walker, focus is very important. So I'm trying to train now, or I am training now, with my eyes closed or with a blindfold on for a longer distance.
My next question is, does he have a safety harness? Because anytime anybody pulls one of these, I go, does he have a safety harness? If he does, I'm not that interested.
Well, that's what happened here.
This is a little different, I guess.
Yeah. No one's asking him to have a safety harness. If he goes to some foreign volcano, it doesn't matter. Right? Only in an American volcano would you have to have a safety harness. He should go to, like, you know, there's got to be some volcano in the South Pacific that he can go to where the country doesn't care. No, you go ahead. And then the, like, here, remember they put the safety harness on him? And then it was, because they had a guy, like, from the fire department. They started the show. And it was like, yes, he's going to go across the Chicago River. And he was traversing from, where was it? Was it from Marina City to the building across from there?
Yes,
or was it
Trump
Tower? Whatever the hell it was. So he's going across. And then they, right before he goes, they had, like, a guy from the fire department.
Are you Nick Wallenda? I've been asked to come up here and seize you. You know, you're going to have to wear a safety harness because that's rules. This Chicago Fire Department rules. There's no two ways around it. You cannot traverse between structures in this. Take a look right here. It's right here. See the ordinance. And they made him wear the safety. And he was like, oh, my God, I can't believe the city made me wear the safety ordinance. Or they made me wear the safety harness. And you're like, really? They did, right, that was, there was no discussion of it. It just came up in 10 minutes before we were going to go across. I don't think so. It's almost like they hired an actor to play a Chicago Fire executive. Yeah, that's what you're going to need to do, Mr. Wallenda.
Telling you, we need to find some cheap volcano in a corrupt third world country.
The entire country will come watch.
Right, and let him go across that thing. And let's see what happens then. The problem is the sulfuric acid. Hold on, I need to pray with my minister. Wasn't Osteen his guy? Didn't Joel Osteen go and pray
like
with him?
Yeah, super religious.
Yeah. Well, I would be too, if this is my chosen field. Because, you know, at any given moment.
Oh, yeah. A lot of praying going on when you're walking there.
Yeah. Checking in at
number two,
Ken Jennings. You are the champion. Nice job. The greatest of all time. Congratulations.
There he is, Ken Jennings, winning the final Jeopardy, the multi-game tournament of the greatest of all time. He told Good Morning America that all of his competitors were top-notch opponents, but that James forced him to change his strategy.
Honestly, James was building a lot of momentum in last night's game. You know, he was coming for me. It looked like I had put the game away, and he came racing back. And if he gets that final answer right, suddenly it's 2-2, and he's got momentum on his side. So, it was not a dominating win at all. I think all three of us are very experienced Jeopardy players, and if you run this back 10 times, you're going to get a different winner. You're never going to get the same winner twice in a row.
Don't give them any ideas, because that's coming. We should do it again.
I think he and the
James
guy
Holtower,
from,
by the way.
Yeah, the guy, him, James, they've been having a riff on Twitter. Ken Jennings.
Going against it. Promoting it. Because I'm sure, I have a feeling about this, that there's going to be a call out for a rematch.
Ooh.
In either February or May or November. The months of sweeps. And finally,
number one.
Before takeoff at Houston's Hobby Airport, Jason Campbell noticed a man who looked like President Trump on the flight. And he was carrying a musical instrument. So the pilot said they had a special guest. The man walked down the aisle, messed with the flight attendant intercom system, and started acting like he was the president. During the impression, he takes off his wig and begins to do an impression of another former president, George W. Bush. Who allows a guy to do this on the plane? Where is TSA?
Listen, ladies and gentlemen, it is so great to be on Southwest Airlines flying to Orlando, Florida, the entertainment capital of the world, where I launched my campaign for 2020. But I have a confession to make. I'm not really Donald Trump, okay? Would I be flying coach if I was Donald Trump? Of course not. I'd be on my own plane. It's me! great to be back in Texas where I live. You're all invited to the ranch for some barbecue. God bless you, and God bless Southwest Airlines and America.
Again, I ask, where is the air marshal taking the guy down? I mean, it's guy tries to commandeer the microphone on the plane.
Sir, we need you to go back to your seat.
Gotta go back.
The seatbelt sign is on.
Sit down now, sir. I don't care who you think you are. All right. That's my only problem with that story. Obviously, this is a guy who's just trying to get on Good Morning America to be the guy that was, roughed up. What he needed to do is he needed to refuse to give up his seat like the Dr. Dow did here. Mm-hmm.
Well, his stunt worked. It was number one in our top 5 at 5.
That's a good point. Again, I prefer an air marshal taking care of this business.
The top 5 at 5.
And now, the Rokan Show presents News or Ruse, a true game of true wit and skill. And now, here's your master of ceremonies, Rokan.
Thank you, Mr. Duffy. We continue with News or Ruse, first time in the year 2020. And David Hochberg is our celebrity today. And David Hochberg, is the host of Home Sweet Home Chicago with David Hochberg Saturdays from 10 a.m. to noon, in which you try to help Chicagoans find a home.
We help them find a home, stay in a home, fix their home, answer all their questions about their home, bring in sponsors that answer their questions. And I just kind of lead the pack there and get us through 2 hours of listener participation.
My favorite thing about, because you and I were at that other station for a long time together, and now they're here. And my favorite part of your show is they should rename your show. I got a guy. Because there's always you put the caller on hold, and then there's always, hey, Johnny.
Exactly.
Johnny,
call
the guy,
it.
The guy needs a mortgage.
That's right.
His hot water heater's out.
Right. Call Permaseal.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
Hold on. Get Ray on. I'm literally doing that to the producer. Call David Schluter. Get him on the phone. We got a legal question. Call Roy Spencer. We got a leaky basement.
Right.
I'm not the guy that's going to answer
that
question.
Right, but you got a guy.
I got a guy.
Yeah, that's the Chicago way right there.
That's right.
All right. So Home Sweet Home Chicago with David Hochberg, Saturdays 10 a.m. to noon. All right. Now, we are playing for the best prize ever in the history of News or Ruse. Not saying much. It's a winter getaway package to Granite Peak Ski Area, Rip Mountain, State Park, Wisconsin. Right? It's right there in Wausau, right outside of Wausau.
It's beautiful up there,
Oh, my God. It's unbelievable.
Gorgeous,
you get north of, you pull into Stevens Point, and Stevens Point becomes, that's your point of embarkation right there into the beauty of the North Woods.
It's another country.
Yes.
Yes.
And you're like, gorgeous. I can't believe this. It's mountains. It's like the Alps.
Yeah, it's amazing.
But except, with a lot of Green Bay Packer
flags.
Flags and things on their cars and things like that. I mean, I know they don't. Maybe they do have that in Germany. I don't know. All right. So that's what you're going to get there. You cannot beat this. It's a two-night stay in Wausau, and you get the lift tickets and all of that. And it's a long run, too. This is not like a little Midwestern run. It's a nice, that's a real deal there. The best skiing in the Midwest. Book your stay. Visit SkiGranitePeak.com. And then everybody gets a $75 certificate from Green Tea Home Services for all your home service needs, including garage door maintenance, air duct purification systems, or carpet cleaning service. Call 800-5-GREEN-TEA or go to GreenTeaServices.com. And that's another one of those guys that David goes, hey, get Green Tea on the phone!
That's right. They do a ton of stuff, too.
Yeah, they do it. Like they're like the they fix things, right?
I love listening to her commercials. They're like very soothing.
Oh, Tanya Corey.
Mm-hmm. Green Teen Services.
All right.
Nailed
it. Exactly. All right, let's meet our contestants, shall we? Here is Matthew playing with Lauren. Matthew, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Natalie playing with Kevin.
I'm here.
And Chris is playing with David Hochberg.
Hey, David.
What's up, Chris? Let's rock this, buddy.
What's up? I need a loan.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, a loan. Is your bathtub leaking? Because we can fix that, too. All right, hold on a second. We're going to start with the Orion Samuelson round here. That's what we're going to do. It's a new year. It's a new format. Here we go. Wait a second. You know what I hear there? I hear whispering.
Natalie just said, I'm on the
radio. That was me. Oh. My 13-year-old son picks this moment to try to talk to me.
The first time in 3 years he's tried to talk to you. It's right, yeah, right at this moment. I just want to let you know, I think my girlfriend's pregnant. I'm on the radio!
He's only 13.
I never know. This kid's in it. All right, here we go. Matthew and Lauren, here is your headline.
Soccer club's top player has contract terminated for impregnating club's president daughter.
Wow, what are the odds? That's good.
Natalie, I'm sorry to make you feel bad about that. All right, go ahead.
What do you think, Matthew?
Wow, Lauren, I don't know. I'm saying news.
Okay, let's go news.
All right. Yeah, that's correct.
Nice.
Yeah, very well done. That was a Nigerian soccer player who's been fired by a Slovenian club for impregnating the daughter of the president of the second division. Hey, let me just tell you something right now. You know that did not go down well.
No.
I just, when you put the Nigerians and the Slovenians and all that together, that's not going to go well. That is an immigration crisis. All right, Natalie and Kevin, here's your headline.
Okay.
Las Vegas Animal Rescue hopes to safely remove tiny cowboy hats from pigeon heads.
Well, I heard about this pigeon hat story. I know that they were seen wearing pigeon hats. I just don't know if they're going to try to rescue them.
I think if you've heard about it, we should probably go in news, Natalie. I think we're close enough.
All right.
News it is.
There it is. All right. Now, Chris and David Hochberg, here's your headline.
More than 150 pounds of black market bologna seized in Texas, say border agents.
I say it's bologna. Chris, what do you say?
Black market bologna?
Yeah, what do you think, bud?
Oh, man. Oh, boy. I'll say it's news.
You want to go in news?
All right. Yeah. There you go.
I'm glad he went with news.
Yeah, right there. The border agents, you know, that's they got to always go with them whenever they say something. It couldn't be weirder. I just feel bad for the Nigerian guy. All right, we're going to get to the rest of News or Roos. Everybody's tied after round one. Let's check in with Lauren Lapko. What's happening on the roads and in the sky? We're playing News or Roos for the best package ever. A winter getaway package to Granite Peak Ski Area, Rib Mountain State Park, Heart of Wisconsin. You're going to receive 4 ski lift tickets and 2-night stay at the Hampton Inn in Wausau. For the best skiing in the Midwest, to book your stay, visit SkiGranitePeak.com. And a $75 gift certificate everybody gets from Green Tea Home Services for all your home service needs, including garage door maintenance, air duct purification systems, or carpet cleaning service. Call 800-5-GREEN-TEA. Every time I do that, Siri goes off.
This is the third time you've triggered that.
I know. She thinks I'm talking to her, and I'm talking to Tonya Curry. We got 805-GREEN-TEA or greenteaservices.com. All right. David Hochberg is our celebrity today. David Hochberg, of course, now the host of Home Sweet Home Chicago with David Hochberg Saturday mornings right here on WGN, 10 a.m. to noon. Everybody's tied after the first round. Let's go back to round two. Matthew is playing with Lauren. Here is your headline. Florida, after dog walker, asks social media for help after discovering collection of abandoned adult toys in town square.
What?
I know. I have no idea what that headline is.
Is it like Florida colon and then a start of a headline?
Sure.
I forgot what the rest was. What was it?
After dog walker asked social media for help after discovering collection of abandoned adult toys in town square.
Well, I almost want to say ruse because that's just a terrible headline. But the context could be crazy. Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah. We'll go with news.
You're going news?
News.
Yeah.
All right. You should have trusted Lauren on that.
Yeah, that's a bad written headline.
Yeah, that is.
Jeff.
I don't know who the hell did that. That was basically written by like the Dyslexics Association. And there's nothing wrong with that. All right, here we go. Natalie and Kevin, here is your headline. Hockey game in England delayed after referee forgets his pants.
Do they play hockey in England?
That's a good
Kevin?
Point. I know. I should know this one as the sports guy. I'm going to go with news here for some reason. I'm feeling news.
Well, I'm feeling like if they played hockey in England, the referee would end up forgetting
exactly
his
exactly what I was thinking.
All right, taking with that. All right, there you go.
Yep.
Nice.
Yay.
Okay. All right. Chris and David Hochberg, here's your headline. I feel like I'm punishing you for being stupid, judge says to man who brought meth to jail.
Chris? I'm not a meth expert here, so what do you think?
Is that meth, he said?
Yeah, meth.
Yeah, meth. Crystal meth.
Is that a judge?
A judge.
I feel like I'm punishing you for being stupid, judge says to man who brought meth to jail.
Oh, man. It seems too good to be true, huh?
So it has to be true, right?
Huh?
Or is it
too... It's just so descriptive.
Right. All right, I need an answer.
Go ahead, Chris.
Wait a minute. Man.
Hold on, Google.
3, 2, 1,
you spell
go.
Meth. All right, come
news
on.
Or ruse?
I'll say ruse.
Ruse.
You're going to say ruse, and you're wrong.
I want my first cut.
This guy is
beating himself up.
Damn it.
Son of a gun.
Damn it.
Throw a chair across his living room.
Where's the meth? Matthew and Lauren, here's your headline. Woman repulsed by lice and fleas less likely to find beards attractive. Study finds.
True.
Let's go news.
That one seems like that was just a layup right there. I don't know how that
was a gimme.
Back to Chris and David. You got to get this right to CNN.
Got to get this right, buddy. Let's go.
All right, here we go.
All right.
Swedish military duped by officer with faked diploma.
Ooh. A lot of that's been going on there, Chris. I'd say news.
Oh, man.
Chris just can't forgive himself.
I'll go with you. I have no clue.
All right, there you go.
I got screwed over the last time.
All right.
So.
Okay. I just don't want anything bad to happen to Chris. All right. Natalie. She's getting very upset right now. Natalie and Kevin, here is your headline. Natalie, this is for the win.
Okay.
So you will have won twice today. Your son wants to talk to you, and you will have won a ski trip to Rib Mountain. I mean, how great is that?
Nope. No pressure. But
no. Granite Peak Ski Area. This is the best thing we've ever given away on News or Ruse. All right?
I'm a big skier, so I really want
to. Are you?
Win.
Oh, my
yeah,
God.
I have a lot of pressure here. Come on, Natalie. Let's do it.
Yep.
Florida man.
I'm ready.
Florida man tests taser-proof claim, spends painful night in jail.
Oh my God, that does sound like something that would happen in Florida.
But they also try to mislead when they write these and put Florida in the title to mislead. That's my only hesitation here, Natalie.
Yeah, like last time, like the last Florida headline.
Mm-hmm. Well, if that was a headline, we have no idea what the hell that was. It was just a bunch of, it was like a word scrabble is what it was. All right, I just need to know.
It's up to you, Natalie. I'll never forgive myself if we get it wrong.
Oh my
so it's your call.
I'm going to go with your instinct and say ruse.
She puts it on me.
All right.
Yes. Sniffed out the Florida headline. Have fun skiing, Natalie.
Thank you, Kevin. I'll think of you.
All right. Enjoy.
Don't tell the 14-year-old. All right. Hold on. All right, everybody. You'll get your... Oh, boy. Okay. Let me tell you once again what everybody was playing for, because they're the sponsors and they want to hear their names. Winter getaway package to Granite Peak Ski Area, Rib Mountain State Park, the heart of Wisconsin. You're going to receive 4 ski lift tickets and 2-night stay at the Hampton Inn in Wausau for the best skiing in the Midwest. And to book your stay, visit SkiGranitePeak.com. And then the $75 gift certificate from Green Tea Home Services, he said, as he choked to death, for all of your home service needs, including garage door maintenance, air duct purification systems, or carpet cleaning, 800-5-GREEN-TEA or greenteaservices.com. David Hochberg, I have used Green Tea for the carpet cleaning.
They're yeah, how's great. That work out? They're good?
They're great, yeah. They have, you know, the funny thing, when you do the carpet cleaning now, that they have this deal where it's not wet like it used to be. I don't know right. how they're doing it, but it's like, you know, like an hour later, you're fine. It used to be when I was a kid, you did the carpet cleaning, and like 6 weeks later,
you got fans
you're,
on
you're,
it.
You're, right, your socks are still wet when you're like walk on out of the bathroom floor. That's a bad thing.
I remember in the morning, you're about to go to school. My dad's like, "The carpets are getting cleaned today. When you get home from school, do not go on this carpet, even 8 hours later."
So, as I don't know, maybe 6 months ago, 9 months ago, whatever it was, I get the carpets cleaned, and you know they move everything around. They move anything that's movable. Like they in move, the yeah. like in the bedroom, right? You know, so they're moving stuff, and then they lost it. And it was not them. It was like, I came back, and I go, no, I'll take care of this. And I because I wanted to move stuff into, you know, where I, uh-huh. and I'm like, oh, my God, what did I do with that stuff?
You couldn't find the stuff that you moved
I couldn't, no.
prior
like,
to the move?
No, I could not find
the stuff.
That
you didn't want them
right.
to move, yeah. to know what you were
like,
moving?
Oh, my God, what did I do? Where's that lamp? And I live alone. I'm like, what am I going to do? I'm yelling at myself, where's the lamp? All right. Okay. David Hochberg needs no introduction. Home Sweet Home Chicago is his new show right here on WGN. It's Move Stations. And thank you for doing that. And
thank you for having me.
Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Saturdays, 10 a.m. to noon. And it's 56david.com, right, is your website?
855-56-David and 56david.com. And hopefully by this weekend show, mm-hmm. Dave came back from Texas. We should have WGN David set up with all the show sponsors that all linked into the webpage, so everybody could be.
You're like
one stop
shopping. The whole idea of this
easy
is that you're one stop shopping that's for right. any the problem that you got in your home. That's basically what Saturdays are here at WGN.
Right.
We're going to fix everything, and you're going to help people either finance it or connect people with the right
correct
person to.
And again, it's just a continuation of Lou's show. He helps people explain how to fix stuff. We bring in the actual business owners that answer all the listeners' questions. We had Lindemann Chimney Inn last week. We have Dave Schluter, real estate mm-hmm. attorney, Donna Sattler, realtor, and Rich Dykstra from Dykstra Heating and Air Conditioning coming in this weekend. So if you have any heating and air conditioning questions, call in. We have Rich here. Any legal challenges, call in. Dave will be here. Any real estate questions, we have Donna.
Thank you very much. We'll see you back here tomorrow at 3.